W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Kevin, there's some big news in the NBA right now. KD is not going to be playing tonight in the game against the Kings. I want to ask you, most importantly, about the availability of KD not being on the team and how that's going to impact this game against the Kings.
Yeah, so first of all, again, with the injuries right now that we saw within the NBA, Kevin Durant we're talking about here. We also saw Anthony Davis pick up re-aggravating that Achilles injury here. I think we're going to talk this game, but it's just important to remind people, these are the risks that come with the futures market. Right now, Milwaukee Bucks futures tickets holder feeling a little bit shaken to their core, maybe, as Drew Holiday missing a ton of time. Lakers bettors last night starting to say a couple Our Fathers and Hail Marys, maybe, as Anthony Davis hobbles off to the locker room. And Brooklyn Nets bettors, I'm sure, when they see Kevin Durant unavailable again, can't feel over the moon about that. Now, they're being cautious with KD, so maybe Brooklyn Nets backers are plenty pleased with that. But Erin, I think when we go down the board, when we go through these futures markets, can this team win without this guy? Can this team win without this guy? This is not a season, right? And hopefully, I hope we never get back to this, where the Golden State Warriors had such a ridiculous roster that they were able to lose a Kevin Durant and still even then get to, you know, the NBA championship. I mean, if you can do that, like, incredible. But the odds were so stacked. This year, if your best player goes down, the rest of these teams just have too much talent, very likely, for you to be able to make up the gap. Look at what happened to the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler and all of the games that he had missed. We talked about, Erin, your Sixers, right, when Joel Embiid isn't out there. So I think just this is, serves as a reminder for those that are playing in the futures market early. Yes, you can beat numbers. But the reason also why the futures market is plus, 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 plus is you are taking a lot of risk on the unknown, such as injury situations that could pop up with a guy like Kevin Durant.
And Kevin Durant being out is huge news. AD being out is huge news. And like you said, that's definitely going to impact the futures market and something that you want to take note of. Now, in terms of this Nets-Kings game tonight, the Nets are favored -4 on the road heading to Sacramento. Do you think they can get it done without KD being in this game? Or do you think that you would take the Sacramento Kings, who were hot at the beginning of February but then have cooled down recently?
So something that's also very important about this one, Erin, is De'Aaron Fox could not be available. It's possible for the Sacramento Kings. De'Aaron Fox recently missed the game for them. This is now a back-to-back for Sacramento, who lost an ugly one at home to Memphis. Memphis maybe playing a little bit of better basketball. I'm sure they're trying to erase that 22-2, then lose to the Lakers. That was a wild game. But ultimately, if Fox isn't out there, the Kings are hopeless. Now, they felt hopeless yesterday. Yep. They've now lost three games in a row. I just have to say this before you even worry about the side. Oh, is that a Brooklyn Nets game? Oh, that's an over. That's what we do always, no matter what. It's what you have to do. The total with the Warriors game was 245.5. It looked bad, Aaron, and then it didn't. There was a gazillion points. The Nets, the over, it's a perfect marriage.
And welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We are previewing some NBA games there on the board. Another one I want to talk about, Rockets-Wizards. So Washington coming off a win over the Celtics. Good win for them yesterday. Many articles, though, are circulating about John Wall saying that the Wizards did not give him honesty or respect in the trade for Russell Westbrook. And to me, in a trade that now just looks seemingly like swapping problems. He'll face his former teammate tonight. Right now, currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Washington Wizards are favored -1.5 over the Rockets. To me, it seems like the Wizards could easily, with the way they've been playing, cover this spread, but the Rockets just lately not great.
No. No, they're not. They just got blown out by the Knicks, which was ugly. They've lost what feels like a gazillion games in a row. Five consecutive. The Wizards are hot? Not really. They won a game. They feel good. They do. One thing we have talked about is the Wizards, it's so weird, are now 2-0 straight up in their last two games on the second, a lot of twos here, on the second leg of a back-to-back in which Russell Westbrook does not play. Now, maybe Russ plays tonight because it's the Rockets. I wouldn't bank on it. I wouldn't bank on it.
Yeah.
But
and they're not great against the spread either at home. Yeah.
The Wizards.
They're 4-8.
They've been favored, though, Aaron, at home four times. They have yet to win one of those games. A new Dallas Mavericks, perhaps? Now, the Wizards won't be favored at home as many times as our beloved Dallas Mavericks, but that's something that I do think is noteworthy. Also, this game has already been played this year. John Wall scored 24 points, was tied for a team-high 21 field goal attempts. The other player that took 21 shots, Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo, a little banged up, unlikely plays in this game. No Oladipo, John Wall returns to Washington. I have to. Narrative over 24.5 points for John Wall.
Yeah, that over there could be the play. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about the Bulls, Pacers, and get into more NBA previews. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We are previewing some NBA games on the board right now, starting off with Bulls-Pacers. So the Pacers, they can rally in a game that they scored 41 in the fourth quarter on Saturday night against Atlanta, so that's a little bit scary there. Pacers looking for their third straight win, but have lost six of the last nine. They are 6-9 against the spread at home. Now the Bulls, meanwhile, they've lost seven of their past 10 games. But they're 9-3 on the road, the second best record right now on the road in the NBA against the spread. Bulls are +5.5 currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook, total at 225. Kevin, would you feel confident in taking the Bulls considering how good they are against the spread this season?
So one of the things that I think the both of us typically are very willing to do is back an overwhelming trend. If a team is 6-4 in a specific spot, okay, fine, right? 9-3 on the road for Chicago?
Huge.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But Aaron, let's make it even better. They are 8-1 against the spread as a road dog. Are you kidding me? Can we please have the Chicago Bulls play the Dallas Mavericks in a 7-game series every game in Dallas? I mean, this is going to be like, it would be the greatest thing of all time. The Bulls would maybe lose every game, but they would cover all of them. It would be magic. 8-1 against the number as a road dog? That is, you have to back them in that kind of spot. I know that could at times be basic for people. What about the matchup? What about the fact that you've got a Pacers team coming in with two consecutive wins, both by double digits? What about the fact that right now you've got a Bulls team that's not playing consistent basketball? They've gone out there. They've lost four of their last six. I get it. But this is a spot that the Bulls have thrived in. On the road, they are better. And that's just what it is, okay? As a matter of fact, the Pacers have now lost two straight games at home. So we're looking at a spot that makes all the sense in the world for me. The trends say it. I see the avenue for the Bulls with a good Zach LaVine game. Mm-hmm. I have to back Chicago in this spot.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to go with Chicago plus 5.5, too. And you made a good point about following these betting trends. This is a 9-3 against the spread on the road Bulls team. It's hard not to follow that. It's just like when we bet on the Mavericks, we don't want to bet on them at home because their trend is so bad. And sometimes on paper, you could say for OKC Bucks game, the Bucks should have covered that spread of minus 12 and they just didn't. On paper, it might look different than what you see when you follow the betting trends. But another game on the board, 76ers coming off back-to-back losses, most recently against the Suns on Saturday. Tough loss for them there. They are plus 7 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook against the Red Hot Jazz. This is going to be such a tough matchup for the 76ers team. I don't know if I've seen at all this season yet that the 76ers, whether maybe in game, have been plus 7 as one of the opening lines for a game.
No, you're 100% spot on. I think some of that has to do with Joel Embiid being questionable. It is next to impossible to envision a world in which the Sixers can win this game, much less keep it competitive against the Jazz without Joel Embiid. The Jazz have the best record in the NBA. They are the best team against the number in the NBA. They have now covered six straight games after what was a ridiculous double-digit cover streak. They had that snapped losing to Denver, didn't cover by the hook against Detroit. They've now covered six in a row. They are 10-3 against the number as a home favorite, 11-3 overall against the number at home. What can you say about Utah? I mean, they are
They're just dominating.
Up. Yeah, they're just putting up result after result after result, Aaron. Like, is this
and they're
this
one of those teams that are good playing and against us and in terms of betting. It's one of those that are just dominating on both sides. Whereas, you know, with the Lakers, we could say they're not great against the spread, but they're winning.
And that's the thing with a team like Utah. The Lakers are supposed to win every game. The Bucks are supposed to win every game. The Bucks just played the Jazz. The first time all year Milwaukee had been an underdog. First time all year. Right, Utah's had their moments where they have been dogs. Not many, but some, right? This Utah team is one that it's very difficult for the book to catch up to, seemingly, against the number. They're worth backing. I will say this, though. I don't care. Oh, you could steal some value with the news. Won't touch the game until I know about Joel Embiid. He is a top three MVP candidate. I can't make assumptions about the availability of somebody that is that important to their team.
Yep, and Philly is 4-3 against the spread coming off a loss. Overall, they're 14-12-1, so not great. Just quickly, Kevin, is it time to panic yet for the 76ers being so great? Now they've lost two. It just doesn't seem that they maybe have that rhythm right now, but they could potentially just get that right back. It might not. I mean, going against the Jazz, that's just unfortunate. Yeah. Best team right now in the NBA, you could argue. So do you think it's time to panic yet, or maybe in a few more games if they keep dropping them?
I wouldn't panic even if they lose this game by 20, honestly. I know it would be frustrating for the Sixers fans to go on a West Coast trip, struggle on the road again, possibly lose three straight games to Western Conference playoff teams will not be great. But at the end of the day, they're in the East. And the Sixers right now, if they play 500 basketball the rest of the way, I mean, they're making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Have you seen these Eastern Conference standings? Like, the Sixers are fine.
Insane compared to the Western Conference.
Like, they just need Embiid to be healthy. Maybe you do just hold him out there tonight. See what Ben can do. Mess around and maybe get a triple-double and surprise some people.
Yeah, he's actually been playing pretty well. I can't really talk anything bad about Ben Simmons. He's been stepping up recently. Another game on the board. We're going with Atlanta Hawks and the Knicks. Knicks are looking for their third straight win. They will be without center Mitchell Robinson, who broke his hand on Friday night in Washington. Atlanta has lost three straight in six of the last seven. Atlanta needs to figure out how to close games since they are often outscored in the fourth. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Hawks are -2. That just moved up from -1.5. And the total's at 217.5. Kevin, do you like playing the side here? You like playing the total? What's your thoughts on this one?
I really like this game. I'm very excited by this game. So first of all, as far as the total goes, because I do think the total is noteworthy and interesting. It's 217.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, typically, you see a Knicks total, you think under. That's what the Knicks have led everybody to believe every time we see them. The last time these teams played, the total was 225. Now this, you know, total has come all the way down to 217.5. I do think that is noteworthy here. You could be seeing some value to the over. Plus, those teams, the last time they met, that final score actually was over this number. Atlanta was the best under team in the NBA, even better than the Knicks. These are actually two of the better under teams in the NBA. But we've seen the Hawks now play four consecutive overs and five of their last six. So Atlanta's playing towards the over. In terms of the side, Atlanta 3-1 against the number as a road favorite. They are 3-1 straight up as well as a road favorite. The Knicks do come in playing some better basketball. They've now covered in five of their last six games. But my absolute favorite thing, lean towards the over, lean towards the Hawks, is a Trae Young prop. Trae Young, for whatever reason, just loves playing against the New York Knicks. Last year, played the Knicks three times. He scored 42 or more in every single one of the three games. I mean, that's ridiculous. 42 plus in three games against a singular opponent is incredible. He scored 31 in the meeting with them this year. And as far as some splits go, Trae Young scores 27.8 points per game on the road. And here's the real kicker. In losses, Trae Young averages only 20.6. But in wins, which they're favored to do, Trae Young averages 32.5 points per game. Aaron, his points prop is 25.5. I like Trae Young for an over 25.5 here tonight.
That is an insane stat. But the Knicks are 6-6 at home, even better after a win at 7-5 against the spread. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Carson Wentz and why he's still not traded.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the early line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're bringing on right now Ed Kratz of Eagle Maven at SI.com. Ed, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to talk about one of our favorite topics, Carson Wentz. So I have to ask you off the bat, are you hearing anything on the Carson Wentz front about a potential trade now?
Well, things have slowed down on the Carson Wentz front, and I just think right now it's not really a seller's market, to be honest with you. There's so many quarterbacks out there that kind of are flooding the market, if you will. Deshaun Watson, who knows about him? Marcus Mariota in Vegas, along with Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are and Sam Darnold. A lot of quarterbacks have been said to be on the market, and Carson's one of them. So I think when the Matt Stafford and Jared Goff deal went down, that kind of pushed teams, you know, the quarterback position more to the forefront for different teams. And, you know, everybody assumed that Wentz was going to be the next domino. It was even reported as such. I kind of had a feeling that this would sort of had a tendency to slow down. But if I had a hunch, I would say something probably gets done within the next 2 weeks. With Carson Wentz, that puts us into March. The new league year starts March 15th, and then they owe him a roster bonus 3 days after the start of that league year, and that automatically triggers his contract for 2022. So they're going to be on the hook for 2 years, and I'm pretty sure they don't want that. So I think he'll get dealt. I just think right now that teams are kind of looking at what they have in the quarterback market. and determining if they need a quarterback. And there are quarterback needy teams out there, no doubt about it. But there are some other quarterbacks that could fit the bill. Maybe some you're more comfortable bringing in than a quarterback like Carson Wentz, who, let's face it, has had a propensity for injury. But I think they'll find a deal for him. And I think it'll happen within the next 2 weeks or so.
And Ed, I'm curious, can you talk to the relationship, though, that Wentz right now has with this organization? Things really didn't seem to develop nicely, to put it one way, throughout the season. Doug Peterson losing his job. Some people thought that was connected to Carson Wentz. Could the Nick Sirianni hire change things? How is Wentz's standing within this organization right now?
Well, you know, Carson hasn't spoken, obviously, since he was benched in Green Bay back on December 6th. But just, you know, following some breadcrumbs and talking to some many people, you know, within the league and even within the team, I think it was a fractured relationship with Howie Roseman, the general manager, back when they took Jalen Hurts. And it wasn't so much looking over his shoulder at Jalen Hurts, but the fact that Howie came out and said, we missed our opportunity to draft Russell Wilson back in 2012 when he went, I think it was 15 spots or so ahead of Nick Foles. They ended up taking Nick Foles, and that turned out great for Philadelphia, obviously, with him kind of stepping in and leading that Super Bowl run. But he said that, you know, Russell, we missed our next Russell Wilson. So if you're Carson, you're thinking, well, what's my real long-term security? Yeah, I signed this big contract, but it's a contract that they can get out of within a couple of years. So it's kind of similar to when the Eagles traded up to get Carson Wentz back in 2016. They made two trades, the vault up to number two in the draft, and Sam Bradford was the quarterback at the time, and Bradford wanted out immediately, and he said so. And the Eagles were just fortunate enough that the Vikings lost Teddy Bridgewater to a serious injury, and they were able to trade Bradford a week before the season started, and they moved Carson Wentz into the starting role. But Bradford knew that his long-term situation in Philadelphia had just gone down the tubes when they drafted Wentz, and I think maybe Wentz kind of saw that handwriting on the wall, that his long-term future is no longer guaranteed here in Philadelphia, even with that contract with Jalen Hurts in town. And I think that was kind of the beginning of a fissure, you know, a fissure between him and the front office. And then the front office, I mean, I know there was some contention between Carson and Doug, but I think you could have worked that out. I think this issue is more between Carson and the front office.
That's so interesting. And I know when we talk about Carson Wentz and him potentially leaving, a lot of times Frank Reich comes up. He's obviously in these conversations, being that he's with the Colts before he was with the Eagles back when they won the Super Bowl. How does the relationship with Frank Reich factor into these conversations?
Well, Frank was such a popular guy in Philly. And you know what? It's not like he was an easy coach. I mean, he really pushed these guys when he was in Philadelphia as the offensive coordinator. But there's a lot of respect for Frank Reich among many players in this locker room. So the Colts seem to be kind of that common denominator for a couple of players, not just Zach Carson Wentz, but Zach Ertz. And it's very confusing saying Wentz and Ertz all the time. I stumble all the time saying those two names. But, you know, Zach Ertz, same way with Frank. But, yeah, Carson, I'm sure, would love to play with Frank in Indianapolis. Not only Frank, but also Press Taylor has now been hired by the Colts, and Press Taylor and Carson were together in Philadelphia. Press was the passing game coordinator and the quarterback's coach in Philadelphia for the last few years, and him and Carson have a very good relationship. And then even Mike Groh, who's the wide receivers coach in Indianapolis, he was Carson's offensive coordinator for a time in Philly. So there's a lot of familiarity in Indianapolis. I know that Carson has a lot of respect for Frank, but I was also told that even had Frank Reich been hired in Philadelphia to be the head coach, and that was never going to happen. But if it were, Carson still didn't want to come back. He still does not want to come back to Philadelphia. And that was even had they decided to hire Frank Reich as the head coach.
Wow, that's really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about Zach Ertz, though. Ed, you reported yesterday for SI.com that the Eagles have talked to the Seahawks and Colts about possible Zach Ertz deals. What are you hearing right now with that? If you could expand a little bit, and how motivated are the Eagles to get a deal done?
Well, I would say right now their number one motivation is to get a deal done for Carson. But they are talking they've talked to, like I said, the Seattle Seahawks and Indianapolis Colts about trading Zach. I'm not sure what kind of return he's going to bring back. You know, he's an eight-year veteran, 30 years old. He, too, is coming off kind of a down year like Carson did last year. The question is, what does he have left in the tank? He seems to think plenty. I would agree with him. I think he'd be a terrific pickup for a team, let's say Seattle, who their tight end depth chart is sort of lacking at the moment. You know, they drafted Colby Park and Stanford in the fourth round last year, you know, and they have Will Disley, but these guys are 20 catch receivers each year. Zach can do that in his sleep, numbers wise. Russell Wilson has talked about wanting to get traded because he wants, you know, he's tired of being hit all the time, you know, over 400 sacks. I think having a tight end that he could use as a pretty good outlet before another team's pass rush heats up and kind of can dump the ball to a security blanket, if you will, in Zach Ertz would help appease him immensely. And then I kind of speculated, like, what about Andre Dillard, you know, the Eagles' left tackle they took in the first round 2 years ago, missed all last year with a torn biceps muscle. Would that kind of sweeten the deal? You know, Seattle would love to have a left tackle. Now, we don't know much about Andre Dillard. He played a handful of games as a rookie. He had good moments, bad moments, but he was a rookie, a guy that can be developed, a young guy still on a rookie deal. Would that kind of sweeten the pot for a team like the Seahawks and even the Colts, because they're looking for a replacement for their left tackle, Anthony Costanzo, who retired? So, you know, would Andre Dillard fit in any kind of a package for Zach Ertz? Yeah, he would. And I think he would as with Carson Wentz as well, if you want to increase your return.
And you mentioned Dillard as a possible player to be moved. Do you think that they would be willing to part ways with the former first rounder?
Well, last year, the Eagles had a lot of injuries up front, and that allowed their rugby player project, Jordan Mulata. I don't know how much you know about Jordan Mulata, but, you know, he came straight in 2018 off the rugby fields of Australia. Huge guy, mammoth man, 6'8", 355 pounds. And he got his – I mean, I remember his first practice. He didn't even know how to put his helmet on right, Jordan Mulata. He had never played football in his life. So he has come a really long way in 2 years. And he kind of took charge of that left tackle position after Jason Peters got hurt. So right now, I think we're looking at if Andre Dillard were on this team in, you know, summer when training camps get started, you're looking at a battle at left tackle between Dillard and Mulata. And I think Mulata could move to the right side, but you have Lane Johnson. So to me, one of those guys, and it's probably Dillard, could be moved in the right trade. And then you just give Jordan Mulata that job. But the Eagles maybe, you know, they don't want to do that and just give him away. They're going to look for something because you can never have too many offensive line pieces, as the Eagles learned this year when they had 14 different starting offensive line combinations in 16 games, which is far and away an NFL record.
Absolutely. And one of the things I wanted to make sure I asked before we do let you go, as we are coming up against a break, is about Jalen Hurts. Part of the reason we're in this whole situation is the fact that they drafted Jalen Hurts, but maybe there's some uncertainty here that you could clear up. If Carson Wentz is moved, is Jalen Hurts going to be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, or is that also a question mark?
I think the Eagles are all in on Jalen Hurts, to be honest, for good or bad. You know, the sample size we saw last year, four games, he only completed 52% of his passes. He was kind of put in a pretty bad situation, to be honest, with a team that was really going nowhere. You know, with Carson kind of on the bench, you know, very awkward. So, yeah, I think they're all in on Jalen Hurts. He would be the starting quarterback, in my opinion, in 2021. Eagles receivers are already getting together this week in Houston with Jalen Hurts to work out together. Guys like Jalen Reagor, Travis Fulgham, Greg Ward, they're all going to be together with Jalen Hurts this week. So to me, that indicates that the team has moved on from Carson Wentz, and Jalen Hurts will be the starter in 21.
That's so interesting. I think that Jalen Hurts would be a great fit for this Eagles organization, but there's just so many unknowns. Where is Carson Wentz going to go? Where is Zach Ertz going to go? Are they going to trade them? Are they not? Ed, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We loved hearing all your talk on the Eagles organization and things that are going on behind the scenes. Hopefully we'll have you back on again at a later time. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next after the break, we're going to talk some more NFL headline news. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Kevin, we just had on Ed Kraft of SI.com. He had some great information about Carson Wentz, his deal with the organization, if he sees Zach Ertz being traded. I was just wondering if there's any thoughts that you had to wrap that up.
Yeah, no, there's a couple. I'll tell you this, and this is one as an Eagles fan, admittedly, but I also just think something that you and I have talked about, I think people wonder how much does this team believe in Jalen Hurts? To hear that within the next 2 weeks, Hurts and the main receiving core that Philly has will be down in Texas training together is a good sign, and it does show that at the end of the day, whether the Eagles get an A-plus trade package like we've heard or a subpar deal, Carson Wentz is going to be traded, Aaron.
Yep. And the common theme here seems to be this Matthew Stafford package and what they got in terms of that exchange with Goff is just not messing everything up, but now all these teams are saying, oh, well, what can I get in terms of these players? And a lot of comparison is between Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, or you can even equate this to Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and just all of that kind of banter about what's going on in the league. But there's still so many QB question marks, and the only real alarming thing for me with the Carson Wentz trade is we heard that news break before the Super Bowl, and we assumed that would happen within 48 hours. And there was all this urgency, and it was, oh, it's coming. And then all these Eagles beat reporters every day are like, it's another day, it's another day. And now we're kind of at the point where, okay, this is relaxed, but it seems like in the next 2 weeks or so, it's going to have to get done.
Yeah, well, listen, and that's the other thing from talking to Ed there, who we really should have been talking to the whole time. He was almost a calming figure for people like you and I. He's like, everyone thought this deal was going to get done the next day. I didn't know if that was going to be the case. 2 weeks. Give it 2 weeks. All right, I will trust Ed. No problem. 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we see a Wentz deal. I think that makes a ton of sense, right? They're going to ultimately, you know, take their time. They're going to want to make sure that they get the best package possible. Also, again, Ed, you know, breaking that story around Zach Ertz and the possible trade rumors with the Seahawks and the Indianapolis Colts, I think the Colts situation is really fascinating. The idea that Frank Reich not only kind of doubling down on prior relationships with Carson Wentz, but also Zach Ertz, and what that could then mean for Zach Ertz as he tries to rebound. We spent so much of the season talking about Wentz, but Zach Ertz is a guy who not all that long ago broke
now
the single
the
season record for receptions by a tight end, Aaron. You know, people who play fantasy, if he goes with Wentz to Indianapolis or does, you know, say link up with a Russell Wilson in Seattle, he could very well reclaim his status as a possible top five tight end option.
Yep, I have confidence in Zach Ertz, but I thought it was interesting when we asked about Carson Wentz and his relationship with Frank Reich, and he said that if, let's say, Frank Reich came over to the Philadelphia Eagles organization with the head coach, which was never going to happen, Carson Wentz didn't even want to stay. So that's super, super alarming, and I thought it was interesting when he talked about his relationship with Howie Roseman. But nonetheless, let's talk about another franchise right now that's just continuing to just be the headline of, I feel like every day we hear something new. Of course, this news broke right after our show because you and I would have went in about this. So the phrase, one of the faces of the franchise, one of the best players in the 19-year history of the Texans, was released on Friday. J.J. Watt, no longer with the team. In his announcement video, he said, it's always tough to move on. To me, I think he was just being nice there when he said that. I'm sure he was happy to get out the door. It's reported there is respect between the Texans and Watt, considering they chose to release him a month before the start of free agency, so now he can sign with another team immediately instead of the Texans trying to trade for Watt for draft capital. So J.J. Watt, we can go into all of his stats and whatnot, but what are your initial thoughts of this, just besides, wow, the Texans just continuing to surprise us and just drop the ball here?
So this is the thing with the whole, J.J. is one of the best defensive players the NFL's ever seen. Him, Aaron Donald, Lawrence Taylor. three Defensive Player of the Year awards.
Yep.
That's the list of people that have won that three times. Is he past his prime? Yes. Could he still make an impact? I think so. For immediately after his release, we hear reports that they could have received draft compensation in return for JJ, but they wanted to do right by him. Almost kind of shows this lose-lose scenario in which the Texans find themselves in. They can never do anything right. Oh, we want to be player-friendly.
Never.
So, you know, I know we don't have a good view in the league. Let's do right by JJ and release him. And then everybody's like, you are so incompetent. Get something in return. You have nothing. You have nothing. Yep. How is this going to help
it's
you
wild.
Try and convince Deshaun Watson, right? But conversely, if they sit there and they wait and wait and wait and they go, wait, we need the best offer, we need the best offer, and then it comes and they ship him off to the Cincinnati Bengals, and then people are like, couldn't even do right by J.J. Watt, maybe the best player in your franchise's history, yep. What's wrong with you? They're in a lose-lose, but they only have themselves to blame.
No, completely. And Watt won three Defensive Player of the Year awards. You're making a good point that he might be past his prime. You know, he had multiple 20-sack seasons. That was in 2012, 2014. He took the Texans to the playoffs six times, which is impressive. Plus, he helped the community. Mm-hmm. So when he started a fundraiser for those affected by the storm, that turned into $41.6 million. He's great on the field, off the field. Yes, he might not be past his prime. But, I mean, these are faces of the Texans franchise that either won out or asked to be out. So DeAndre Hopkins, when he was traded, I don't think he wanted to be traded. That was shocking. J.J. Watt now released. They don't get anything in return. But you made a good point. If he had gone somewhere, let's say like the Bengals, we would have been like, oh, they didn't do right by him. Now Deshaun Watson, he wants out, and there's still no clarity on if the Texans are going to give that to him. It seems like they're going to hold out for as long as they can. I'm sure every single team is calling about Deshaun Watson trying to get him. But really, I mean, it's just the Texans organization just cannot do anything right. Like we've said, it's embarrassing that more people in the upper level are also being released or let go or quitting. Yep. And it just all around screams complete chaos and something I would just stay away from this Texans team all around when betting next year, especially if Deshaun Watson is not in at the QB position.
Yeah, and I think, well, now we also, and there's some interesting stuff with Watson, but we turn our attention to where J.J. Watt possibly could land in the free agent market now. Of course, the Steelers will be an instant connection with not only T.J. Watt playing there, the early line's Defensive Player of the Year, at least mine. I don't know if I should brand it as the entire early line. I can't say the early line's Coach of the Year was Sean Payton when I got booed off the stage when I gave out that award, right? So, but look, T.J. Watt had a great year. Derek Watt also still there in Pittsburgh. T.J. Yeah. tweeting out, you know, a GIF basically saying and acknowledging the release of his brother, hoping that he would join him in Pittsburgh. I think, you know, could he possibly try and go to your obvious Super Bowl contenders? The Kansas City Chiefs come to mind. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to mind. I'm sure you already have some pitch to get him to come to Tampa Bay, like you do every single free agent help Tom Brady, to help Tom Brady, to help Tom Brady. But that's the thing, realistically, for J.J. Watt. You know, a Tennessee Titans team is also interesting, having a relationship with Vrabel from his time in Houston and locking himself into two games with the Texans could also be attractive for J.J. Watt.
And do you think J.J. Watt will be in a situation where he'll sign, let's say, a one-year deal and see how he plays to make sure that he isn't over that hump of where he was great and now he's just kind of regressing just based on age and just all other things that happen as you progress in the league?
Yeah, look, all in all, I don't think you're not going to sign a bad contract if you're J.J. Watt. You want to do what makes the most sense for you monetarily, but I don't think money will be the most important thing for him. I believe there were some reports about what he'll be prioritizing, and I believe fun was kind of used as a word there. He wants to go somewhere he can enjoy. Again, I think that speaks
well,
to
the Well, you want that at the end of your career, potentially.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying it at the end of his career here. I'm just saying you do want to have that fun.
I get your point. But I also think it speaks to the situation in Houston, where he probably wasn't having fun. Now, and there's really two ways
to do it. He clearly wasn't. There were so many reports of that.
I have two younger brothers. If I ever had the opportunity to play on the same team as the both of them, I would go, okay? That's the reality. So I would love to see JJ and TJ.
Great story
and Derek, who secretly is a DJ, but he goes by Derek. I don't know what he's doing there. It needs to be DJ. Like, don't go Derek. Don't go TJ, JJ, Derek. That's ridiculous. Nevertheless, I think him in Pittsburgh, that would be awesome. Are they going to win a Super Bowl next year, the Pittsburgh Steelers? Probably not. Maybe. But I think that would
be
awesome.
Interesting to see their QB situation. Yeah.
No, 100%. But, you know, but what's also fun? Winning is fun. Chiefs, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, a return to Wisconsin could also be an interesting link there as well.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to, you know, he's going to have to go to a team that is good, like you said, right now, or maybe has a chance at doing this. He's not going to any team that's going to be in rebuilding mode. At least in my eyes, that's something I don't think he would want to do. But I kind of want to keep with the Texans here. With Deshaun Watson, I know there's a list that came out that you were talking about, hearing of his potential where he wants to go. If you could list some of those teams for us, and then we'll talk about how the odds have moved on the FanDuel Sportsbook in Colorado for where he will play his next snap.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN over the weekend was on, you know, one of their premier morning shows, Get Up, talking about Deshaun Watson and a list of preferred destinations. I'll have to say right now, I thought the report was pretty vague, but the information was still noteworthy. Said that he wasn't able to get the entire list, but he knows that the 49ers and the Denver Broncos were on that list.
Interesting.
Then went on to say, as far as the New York Jets go, probably not. The Miami Dolphins would be a more viable destination for Watson. That's the report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. It kind of goes against what we've heard about Watson and the Jets, though, Aaron.
No, it definitely has. And what's interesting about that market is it continues to shift with all new breaking news. So clearly odds makers are looking at all the news that is coming out and that is available. As you said, for the Jets, they've moved back pretty far in terms of that. But the Texans are still favored, correct, as where he will be playing his next snap?
Absolutely. So right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook in Colorado, where you can not only bet on Deshaun Watson, you can also bet on Carson Wentz's next team that he'll take a snap for. But as far as Watson goes, the Texans are your favorite at 2-1. Last time we looked here, the Jets were the second choice. Not anymore. It's now the Miami Dolphins at 3-1. Then come the 49ers at +340, and then the Denver Broncos at +380. I think that certainly shows that that report there from Jeremy Fowler, and that's why we're talking about it here, it made a difference. Could have influenced how people were betting in this market and, you know, forced FanDuel to adjust accordingly. Then after the Denver Broncos, +550 for the Carolina Panthers, then the New York Jets. The New York Jets at one point were favorites in this market. They are now the sixth choice on the FanDuel Sportsbook at +900. Aaron, a huge drop, a huge, huge drop there for the New York Jets.
Huge drop there, like you said, but it's just interesting to see the Texans that are still favored now. Like, originally, that it moved back, the Texans weren't the odds on favorite to win this, and then it just remains consistent now. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Texans release him. Clearly, he wants out, but now when the season starts going, you know, more into the offseason, we'll see if he's able to hold out and what he'll do in that situation. But definitely something we'll be keeping an eye on, Kevin.
No, 100%. It'll be really interesting to watch the flow of that market.
For sure. Coming up after the break, we're going to get into some more NBA games that are on the board tonight. Stay with us here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Kevin, let's talk about some more NBA games that are on the board tonight, starting off with the Cavs-Warriors. Cavs playing back-to-back after losing to the Clippers. They now face the Warriors on the road. No surprise they're the underdog, +9 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Cleveland is the worst team against the spread in the league when playing on the road, 3-11. The Warriors should be able to cover this number, even though it is... it's a long number, -9. But, Kevin, I know you had some thoughts on how bad Cleveland Cavs have been playing, especially against the spread.
Yeah, a lot of times we talk about hottest team in the NBA. Oh, this team is great against the number. not always when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks. I'll be honest. They get the brunt of a lot of stuff. The Cavs, though, maybe have been slipping under the radar. I can't stress this enough. There are some hidden files of some shows that Aaron and I did that never necessarily went to the air. Just kind of, you know, getting our feet wet here. And the Cavs were talked about way more than anybody would think. Because at the time, if they scored 90 points, it was cause for celebration. They stunk. But then all of a sudden, the Cavs were good. Colin Sexton, Andre Drummond, Darius Garland, they got nicknames. Things are great. Well, they're now the coldest team in the NBA. And I mean ice cold.
By far.
10 last games, they have lost 9 of those games. They have covered in a ridiculous 0 games. 10 straight. We talk about all this money. We could have made our Utah Jazz. They've not covered in 10 games. In 10 full games.
That is a trend to follow. We pick on the same teams, but now Cleveland. Like, this is...
No, they are.
Yeah, this is. You know, I don't like taking favorites, but the Warriors, this is insane.
Look. Here's how, though, I would look to play this one, because I don't really love the idea of laying almost double digits with the Dubs. In this awful stretch of Cleveland Cavalier basketball, in 7 consecutive games, they've given up their opponent's team total over. Warriors team total over could be a nice play tonight.
Insane. The other game on the board we have is the Heat Clippers. Heat are currently the underdogs at +5.5. We'll talk about all these games tomorrow here on the Early Line. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on SiriusXM, Channel 204.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.